episode 144.
Aliens and Strangers, part 2, The Prometheus Paradox.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I am Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiPono, and we are back!
Stop doing that, Ben. Okay, I would like to also introduce you.
Kobe Radcliffe.
As well as...
Daniel Butcher.
I'm Ben Avery.
And I'm Steve MacDonald.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian.
The big show.
Yeah, long time no see.
Yeah, so we're here for part two of our big Alien Prometheus crossover event. If you don't know what we're talking about and you're wondering why this episode is called part two, you have to go to strangersandaliens.com to go listen to part one. Is that right, Ben Avery?
That is correct.
You must go.
So we talked about this on part one, but this whole crossover was all the idea of Strangers and Aliens. So thank you to you guys.
Yeah, good call, guys.
Yeah, thank you for doing it. Thank you for being good sports.
Well, you can thank us after you're done editing the last episode that we just did.
Why would you edit it? That was perfect.
We're not going to edit this one at all. They're going to have to edit it, Ben.
Why?
You said some kind of inappropriate things.
I did not.
Well, yeah. Well, no, he didn't. It kind of just went that way. And then everybody just helped.
It was a little chaotic.
It was a little chaotic. It's hard to have six people on.
It was a group effort.
If we can get Dr. Jace on here, we'll have all seven hosts, which would be great. But I think he's too sick. Yeah. But wait.
Well, I think we'll be able to get one answer out of him.
Actually,
I think you'll be able to ask him what he thought of the movie.
I think right here, let's insert the clip of Dr. J saying, what did you think of the movie? So here we go. Dr. J, I'll edit this in. Give us your brief thoughts on Prometheus.
It was awful.
Why?
To ask,
we can't torture him. Sounds like we already tortured him, make him watch the movie.
Yeah, give us 17 bullet points, Dr.
It was boring, and the acting was bad.
Oh,
bad acting.
Boring, and the acting was bad. He said.
Got it.
Don't nod your head because you haven't seen it, Colby.
I agree with Kobe.
Kobe has a cool name. I agree with him.
Amen, brother.
Wow,
amen.
Yeah, he has a few of them.
What does that even mean?
Okay.
Okay, so we're gonna splice that into the episode then.
Oh, good.
That'll work.
And we're back. So he hated it. Were you surprised that he hated it, Ben and Steve?
I am not at all surprised.
No, he hates a lot of stuff.
Hey, whoa. Soulmate.
But he hates it more good-naturedly.
Oh.
I hate it for your benefit. I'm about educating people.
So you don't have to.
It's like I want there to be less things like G.I. Joe in the world, so I spread the gospel of why you should not like that crap.
Oh my gosh. He's saying that for a reason.
Yeah, I think to mess with somebody.
What's the reason?
I think you just have something against me.
No.
You're my little buddy. Do you ever call me your little buddy again?
Okay. Guys, like we have guests. We have guests. Okay. Oh my gosh, this has been a weird night. Anyways, so
that's all from here.
So, Prometheus tonight.
Until
we're gonna be
time
signing off.
Yeah. So during part one, we talked all about the Alien franchise, and we led right up into Prometheus, which is a sort of prequel, wouldn't you say, Ben DiBono?
Yeah, it turned out to be more of a prequel than I thought it was going to be, because if you remember, man, during the lead-up, there was rumors where it was flipping back and forth that it's going to be strong ties to Aliens, it doesn't have anything to do with Aliens, it kind of does, it's set in the same universe, so there was a lot of confusion.
With the Alien DNA.
Yeah, exactly, it was fused with the Alien DNA, so I was pleasantly surprised by the fact that there were far more tie-ins than I thought there were.
So you were hoping there wouldn't? Or sorry, you were hoping there would be tie-ins?
Yeah, and I was expecting it to be much more independent than it ultimately was.
Well, I heard Damon Lindelof, who is the writer of the screenplay, he said that if Prometheus had children, it would have two children. One would grow up and become the Alien franchise, and one would go off and be the sequels to Prometheus. So Prometheus is kind of the starting point, but then they both spring off into separate directions.
Yeah, I can
see that. Think the sequels are going to get more and more divergent, if they are sequels. We'll talk about that at the very end.
Yeah.
Hope not.
You haven't even seen the movie.
I've seen like the first few minutes.
And you're
of that
the
night.
One who's like, yeah, G.I. Joe 20, bring it on.
Okay, so let's go around real quick. And
see, I disagree with Damon and Lindelof anyway. Why I think that it's very easy to see this. It's just in the same universe as those other movies. It's just another story in that universe. And I don't think you have to worry about, is it a sequel or is it not? Is it a prequel? Is it not? It's set in the same universe. That's all you had to say. That's all they had to say. It's another story in the same universe.
Yeah, but the fact that there is a xenomorph at the end, the fact that you're seeing kind of the origins of the xenomorphs a little bit.
But I don't think you are seeing the origins of the xenomorph.
Not the one that we know, just
not
a
the
version.
Not the one that we know, but you know, you've got the space jockey thing. You've got the whole black goo that ultimately leads to the xenomorph. So I think that there is a bit of a background to the Alien franchise. I don't think it's quite as
disconnected. It expands the universe. It opens up the universe a little bit.
This is what I want to do. Let's go around real quick, give our quick rating 1 to 5 on how you felt about Prometheus. And I think Daniel might have slipped away, but so we won't have his rating right now. And then let's just talk through a little bit of the plot to set the stage. You just were mentioning Black Goo and the space jockeys, who are the engineers, which are cool characters. So
yeah.
Let's start with The Strangers and Aliens. What do you guys give it, 1 to 5?
Steve? What?
1.
Whoa.
Wow, that's
yeah, I'm not surprised by that either.
Yeah.
And I think Jace would probably go with a 1 or a 2.
He'd
probably
say
a
0. He'd say 0.
Mm-hmm.
He might say 0. And
we'd say, Dr. Jace, it has to be 1 to 5. He'd say, I don't care. I'm giving it a 0.
All right, Ben?
4.
4? Ben's agree.
Kobe?
I'm probably going to go with a 1 or a 2.
You haven't seen it.
I've seen parts of it.
What parts? The trailer?
Commercial.
No, I've seen some parts. The terrible Alien end of the Alien movies didn't make me want to see this one anymore. So.
Well, then you can't rate this movie based on the other movies.
I can and I did.
Illogical.
You're illogical.
I like his thinking.
I'm going to go ahead and give it a 4 as well.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Smart people give it 4s and Kobe.
Daniel Butcher, are you here? Can you give Prometheus a rating?
He's not back.
Not back. Okay. Oh, no big deal. So
why did you know why? Oh, he gave it a 1 too.
Yeah, I can understand that. I don't think Daniel would like
it. I want to talk about the opening because
What did Ben give it?
I gave it a 4.
Okay.
Because it's so great.
So as the sci-fi Christian and as Strangers and Aliens, we both have Christian themed podcasts that tie in sci-fi, and the beginning of Prometheus is so much like there's so much that does affect what we believe because they go directly against what we believe is our creation story, and they show these engineers landing on Earth, and Ben, what happens?
Which Ben?
Ben Avery, because I don't remember the opening all that well.
Remember, ship drops off one engineer alone, and Ben Avery, does he eat something? Or?
Yeah, he drinks something that I think is related to the black goo you were referring to earlier, and then he starts dying horribly.
Well, he starts to dissolve.
Yeah, falls into some water, and basically his DNA, his body dissolves into the water. His DNA infects the DNA of some microbes, which you are taken to believe that this is the beginning of an evolutionary jump.
It's the beginning of humanity.
On a planet, probably Earth, because we're from Earth, so we're probably going to project that on there.
I think it's pretty clear. It's Earth, and it's our beginning. So this... And that's what
you say it's clear, but really Scott says that he doesn't care what it is.
Oh, really?
He doesn't care. He doesn't know. He doesn't care. It might be Earth. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and say it's Earth.
Yeah, because I think it is.
If it's not Earth, then the whole rest of the movie doesn't make sense. Because
I totally agree. Yeah, that one.
Well, the good news is we can just wrap this up early then.
Well, but the idea is that... Oh, hey, Daniel.
Hey, Daniel. Daniel, what was your rating on Prometheus? 1 to 5?
Probably 3.
Very good.
I was closer to us.
I was very surprised because Ben Avery forced me to watch it against my will because he convinced me that it was a horror movie, and I don't like horror movies. But someone told me it wasn't horror, and it's not. And I was surprised.
It's horrible.
Hey, before I forget, Ben Avery, are you recording this?
I am.
Okay, keep recording just in case. Okay. On the last episodes Ben and I did, we had a little technical difficulties. So this is. I have a feeling it's going to be hard to bring these 6 people back together.
Yeah.
okay, so we
so, it,
we,
so oh, yeah, so it's the beginning of life on a planet, and the implication is that they're not just doing it there, but they've done it all over the place.
I strongly disagree with what you're saying. This has to be Earth. The whole the whole rest of the movie depends on it being Earth because we have Dr. Shaw finding these different hieroglyphics about, or like cave paintings about these aliens that came from the stars, and it all is about our creation and ultimately where the movie ends. Well, let's talk it all the way through. Is she's going to go?
But you know what? I think I might actually agree with Ben Avery. I think that this is a process that they're doing in multiple places. So I don't think the planet necessarily has to be Earth, and I did not necessarily assume that it was Earth.
Okay,
it's probably Earth, but the thing is, they could be opening this up and saying this happens on this unnamed planet. It's probably Earth, wink, wink. And then in, you know, Prometheus 2 or Prometheus 3, all of a sudden we realize that they've been doing this on other planets, and that's what we were seeing.
So. I can be on board with them doing it on multiple planets, but what story sense does it make to open it on a different planet and then have the whole thing take place on Earth or with humanity?
To trick you into thinking it's Earth and giving you that whole backstory because it did happen on Earth, but then turning it on its ear and saying, aha, even though it did happen on Earth, we were showing you that happening on a different planet.
But I know it was filmed in Greenland.
Yeah, and the other thing is that it looks a lot like the same place.
It looks just like Greenland, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is where they are afterwards.
Yeah, but come on, you know, Hoth looks like Norway.
It does not looks like Hoth.
They're like the UK when they open that cave. They're not in Greenland.
They're in Greenland. Okay. Did you see how green it was?
So watery.
So green.
So that place that
it was a land that was green.
It could only exist on Earth in Greenland.
Okay, so how excited were you guys to see the space jockeys?
Okay, I was very excited about that.
Yeah, that was awesome.
This was like the best part of the movie. The engineers are so sweet.
Of course, you didn't know that they were the space jockeys yet.
That's true.
When they're doing this at the very beginning of the movie,
right?
And I love the idea that when everybody had watched the Alien movies, they imagined that those types of aliens, the space jockeys, had the space that was like an elephant, and then we come to find out it was just a part of their
a helmet.
Yeah,
that was cool. Yeah.
Well, and that was good because they were going in the direction you weren't expecting them to, and they did that a couple times. You're expecting one thing, but
give us another time.
Well, that room, you know, with all the holographic controls and everything like that, mm-hmm. that was actually a control room, even though there's no controls in that room. And so the implication is, you know, I thought that was like a gun.
Right.
That the space jockey was on, but it turns out that's actually like a seat to control the ship. And that there's no control panels on the wall or anything like that. What?
A gun to control a ship. How cool is that?
That is pretty cool.
And then there's also no control panels on the wall or anything like that, but you don't need them because
You can shoot a hole through the wall.
Play your flute, and activate the holographic stuff.
Hey, I was just thinking. So we're already kind of diving into the next, thing that I wanted to talk about, which is what do we like, what do we hate. But let's just quickly run through the plot more. So we have the engineers start life on.
No. People can go read. Oh,
no. Listen.
We want listeners to work hard.
No. Listen. So we start life on Earth. It was clear it's Earth, and then Dr. Shaw and a team go into space, and they find this a ship that's crashed. And when I first saw the movie, I thought, is this the same planet that they were on, an alien? But it wasn't, was it, Ben?
No, because LV-426, I believe, is the alien planet. I don't remember the exact name, but
this is LV-223.
I knew it at the time when I was seeing the movie, so I knew that they said like LV whatever when it was in Prometheus, and instantly recognized that it was not the alien planet. But unless you had the planet number down, you could have been deceived.
So I was deceived for most of the movie. So then through a course of events, the aliens are kind of released again, but not quite in the same way as they are in the Alien franchise, are they, Ben Avery?
No, not at all. Because these are proto-aliens. These are not... This is like the lab where they are creating them.
Yeah, so are we led to believe that the xenomorphs are merely chemical warfare?
I think that that's part of it. Biological warfare, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Biological.
Right. But yeah, I think that this is a place where they were creating them and then sending them out in different ships, you know, to go and do different things. And I think that's why you have the two... You know, you have the ship that we find in Alien that's carrying the xenomorphs. I think that's a more advanced version of the xenomorph in those eggs there, because they actually have these biological eggs. But in this place, you have these more, I don't even know what you would call it, but more not technological eggs, but it's like they created those eggs. They're
synthetic.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, we're looking at, I think everything we're seeing here is from before the ship carrying the ship carrying the xenomorphs that we see in Alien left that planet after what we're seeing on this this planet
so
now.
This stuff happens on LV-223,
right?
And then after Prometheus, something else happens. And
after Prometheus, after all of the flashback stuff in Prometheus.
So okay, the flashback stuff happens, and then another ship goes to 426, crash lands there.
Yeah.
And then we have all the Prometheus stuff.
With the more advanced version of the Xenomorphs.
Okay, so
do you want to hear something interesting about LV-223?
Nope.
Oh, come on. Yes, yes, Steve, go ahead.
Yes, we do.
Kobe, Steve is your only guy.
I know.
No,
who's on your side.
I just haven't said anything in a while, so I need to say
something.
If
Kobe says no, forget it.
No, Steve, I want to hear.
Forget it.
I want to hear it. Cool.
No, I'll do a whole new other podcast or something just on LV-223.
There you go. Okay, well, hey, number 60.
Okay, so Steve, I want to ask you. So as the movie wraps up, most of the characters have perished. We're left with the android David, who's a pretty awesome character, and then Dr. Shaw still alive after, oh my gosh, she got impregnated in this movie, which maybe we should tackle that. Steve, what did you think about the impregnation scene?
You know, the problem is that in the original script, it was so much more incredibly cooler and made much more sense than what we saw on screen.
Have you read the original script?
I haven't read the original script, but I know about the original script.
I heard the script was the biggest problem with this movie.
The biggest problem was the script.
You haven't seen the movie.
Okay, let's not come back to that.
Wait a minute. I don't know if he can criticize a movie for story elements.
Okay, stop, everybody.
Daniel, that's a very good point. Steve was making a good point.
Go ahead, Steve.
Now listen, in the script, in the shooting script before Lindelof got a handle on it, she gets impregnated, but the thing is, she doesn't go into the machine to get the thing out of her and sew her back up. The thing is, it's doing damage to her, so it has to rip this thing out of her, and you see, you know, a lung failure and, all these different things that are going on inside her body. The machine has to repair her. It doesn't just sew up her stomach. So she's in and out of consciousness. This thing is thrown out of her. It's away from her, so she's in and out of consciousness watching it grow. And you know, she's being physically repaired. It takes hours to physically repair her. So, you know, the machine actually has a better purpose than what it's used for in the movie. And it's much more horrible. It's much more horrific. You know, she's in this thing. She can just see this thing happening. And she can't do anything about it, obviously. She's, you know, massive medical trauma. So, you know, that part, that didn't make a lot of sense.
Hmm.
What do you mean it didn't make a lot of sense? I think it made sense. I don't know. Maybe it's not as good of a storytelling element as far as you're concerned.
I think one of the reasons they put it in there is they were trying to loosely reference some Christian elements. Like when they said, you know, 2,000 years ago, we sent someone back and you know, they whatever happened. And they're trying to loosely say that Jesus was an alien. Jesus was checking up on their handiwork and we killed them. So
that's in the original script, too. That's not in this movie.
Right. But in the movie, they mentioned the 2000 years thing.
We have to come back to this at the end, Steve.
The thing is, when she goes and she has this baby, it's because she was barren, but she, you know, did something with a guy on the ship, and all of a sudden she has a baby. So it's almost like they're saying, you know, not in the Christian way, but in like the mythological way, like, you know, how Zeus, it just happens to, you know, impregnate these people who are virgins. This is another type of virgin birth because she was barren, but she's having a child.
And it's Christmas.
Yeah, but David, the android, slipped something into her boyfriend's drink. Daniel, do you think David was a good character? Not character. Was he a good guy or a bad guy in the end?
I honestly think he's somewhat of a bad guy. I mean, he really doesn't care about the consequences for those people around him that are actually living for the things that he does. He just seems to be much more interested in, you know, fulfilling his curiosity. Then instead of, you know, taking care of the humans like my good friend Shazbot would do.
That's right.
But don't you think he's more – I don't think he's a good or bad guy. I think he's just programmed.
You know, I want to say he's great, but he's really not. He doesn't – what does he ever do that is other than out of his own self-interest or pure curiosity? You never see him do anything for Shaw or Holloway or any one of those humans that actually has an actual consequence that doesn't make things more interesting for him.
Yeah, but I think he's just following his programming.
But I think his programming is becoming superseded by the way he is you know perceived by humans, and this goes through the alien the other four movies as well. You know, these things, once you know that they're a replicant or they're a clone or whatever, you're looked down on. You're second class citizen. And he sort of knows this coming into it, but the thing is, he, you know, when he talks to someone and they say, you know, he says, you know, well, you know, why did you create us? Why did humans create these clones? And he said, well, because we could. And he's like, you know, how how depressing is would it be for you to hear that from the people that created you? And he's saying, you know, this is what he's feeling now, or at least that's how it's registering on his, you know, whatever emotional chip or whatever. And I think he's sort of playing that out, you know, around his programming. He's now understanding things in a different light. He's doing things more for his benefit than for these people's benefit.
So you think he's gone beyond his programming?
I think there are lapses in his programming that he is exploiting.
And I'm beginning to wonder, all those days alone on the ship, is he actually, through media, movies, and books, almost beginning to program himself?
I think you guys are on something with the programming, but what I you know, once Wayland dies, I think maybe he's released from any programming, and then he can start his own journey.
Yeah, this whole thing, everything he's doing is for Wayland. He is exploring, he is finding out information, he's finding out the things that Wayland needs. Of course, we're spoiling this, right?
Yeah, total spoilers.
Because Wayland is just there to make his life longer. He doesn't want to die. And so he is going to meet his creator so that he can live eternally or live a lot longer.
And
he has created David to – or I shouldn't say he's created David, but he's programmed David. I can't remember if he actually created him or not. But he's programmed David to do all this stuff and do all these things that seem evil if you have a evil motive behind it. But if you're a robot just following your programming, I don't think he's good or bad. I think he is a thing.
And that's an interesting connection with Blade Runner, because what's his name? The lead replicant in Blade Runner finds the guy who created him, and he says, "I want more life." And that's what Wayland is looking for when he talks to the engineer.
And I think Damon Lindelof did that on purpose.
Yeah.
Okay, so the movie wraps up with just Shaw and David flying off to the home planet of the engineers, and that's where the sequel could go. But before we go into sequel talk, let's talk about either our favorite parts of this movie, or our least favorite parts, or any cool alien connections that you liked.
And sure. I'll start. Ben, what did you like about the movie?
I enjoyed David's character a lot. I thought that he was Michael Fassbender.
Yeah.
Just a phenomenal actor, and really of all the different androids in the series and all the ways that they've played important roles, I thought his character was the most intriguing. So really enjoyed that. Enjoyed the space jockey tie-ins a lot. Enjoyed the final shot of the alien. About what?
What about that did you like? That they recreate a new xenomorph there, or what?
Yeah, I just thought it was. I enjoyed, like I was saying before, I was hoping going in that there was going to be some tie-ins to the Alien franchise. So it's just nice to see some of that and have a bit more continuity. I don't know if there was anything especially I didn't enjoy. I mean, I don't think the movie ever got to the point where of true greatness or anything like that. But what was there was solid, and I didn't feel like there was a ton left unanswered or anything, and I think it'd be interesting to see where they go with the next one, which unfortunately probably won't get made.
Well, we can talk about that in a second. Daniel Butcher, favorite parts, least favorite parts, and any alien tie-ins that you liked?
Well, I'm not really strong towards Alien and Aliens. The series is I much prefer something like Predator. But one of my favorite moments is when Holloway tells Shaw to take off the cross because you found the engineers, you know what the origins of man is, and she looks at him and asks who made them, and it really kind of leads me back to I think it's the second episode of the Sci-Fi Christians, the one that you two did on. What if aliens were real? Mm-hmm. Does it change your faith? Okay, sure, great. I found these aliens. They're tied to the human origin, but that does not yet change my experience.
All right.
So she doesn't lose her faith no matter what she's faced with. That's
not
good.
In this episode.
Nope. She still has questions about origin and man because she's just not convinced that the engineers are the final answer.
Yeah, good. Ben Avery?
What did I like? I liked the visuals of this movie. It is just a spectacular looking movie. I think that's one of the big things that I like about it. It looks like we lost Daniel.
Uh-oh. Bye, Daniel.
Yeah. Are you guys
Peace
still there?
Out.
Okay.
Yeah, we're still here. Keep going.
All right. I got the quiz. How would you rate the overall quality of this call?
Oh, rate it badly.
Had several problems, mostly related to
co-host
the Sci-Fi Christian co-host. But I think visually it's just a beautiful looking movie. I like the characters. I especially like David. I think that's going to be one of the breakout things as far as most of us liking him. And I like the themes that it's trying to get into. I'm a fan of Damon Lindelof. I like him on Lost. I liked, Star Trek. I liked some of the other movies he's worked on. And I like what he tries to do. I listened to his commentary. He kept calling himself pretentious. Like he'd say, this is kind of a pretentious thing to do, but I'm a pretentious guy.
Oh, wait, so can I stop you for a second? I don't own this Blu-ray. There's a commentary track with Damon Lindelof.
There's two commentary tracks. One is with Ridley Scott, and the other is with the two writers.
Oh my
and
gosh!
Not
this is
in
a
the
must
room together, but it is a really interesting thing. First of all, they never say anything bad about each other ever, but they imply things
oh, really?
About each other. Like
this just became a must buy for me, Ben Avery. Thank you. I didn't know that because Damon Lindelof, as everybody knows, this is like my favorite writer in all of sci-fi. I can't wait to hear a whole commentary track by him.
Yeah. Well, it's half a commentary
that'll
track.
That'll be pretty lame, actually, because we know, Matt, Damon Lindelof just talks out of his you-know-what. I mean, he's just ridiculous.
No, that is 100% not true.
That is true. We established this as fact on the Sci-Fi Christian. We paid $15 to go to that stupid Lost thing.
His podcast was my favorite podcast that I listened to before Strangers and Aliens came out.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Wait. I was
no. I
go ahead.
The commentary is interesting because they'll talk about Damon Lindelof will say, "Well, I changed this. This scene is in here because I changed it from his script," or the other guy will then say, "He changed this from my script," and he'll never say he didn't like the change. He'll just kind of imply it. But then there are some things where they are genuinely, the other writer will genuinely like what they changed, and it's an interesting commentary. And the only bad thing about it is Damon Lindelof does call himself pretentious a number of times to deflect people who call him pretentious, I guess. The other thing he does is he says a couple times, and I wish he'd just stop worrying about it and just talk. He says, "I don't know if you're listening to this because you like me or because you don't like me, and if you're listening to this because you hate me, hopefully I'm explaining why I did what I did." I'm just like, I'm listening because I'm interested. Shut up about this. Do you like me? Do you not like me? Circle one. Yes.
So you think he's really insecure?
If no, why not?
Do you think Lost made him really insecure? Because people,
I think so.
Because so many people were angry afterwards?
Yeah, I think so. And he recorded this before the movie was even released in theaters. Hmm. And so he had no idea how anyone was going to respond to it. So he's like trying to anticipate things and problems that people had with the movie.
Wow.
So it's interesting, though. I do think, Matt, you'd like it. I don't think, Ben, that you would.
I can't wait.
I don't do commentary tracks.
Oh, really?
No.
Kobe is raising his hand. Kobe, you had something you want to say?
No, because I haven't really watched the entire movie play out.
Well, and by haven't really, you mean haven't at all?
No, I said I've watched a little bit of it.
So I haven't at all watched the entire movie?
Trailers?
I've not watched the entire movie. Okay.
Okay.
But I have read a lot of reviews on it, not just from random people online, but from legit websites that do movie reviews and stuff like that. And they said that one of the biggest problems of the movie was the bad scripting.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't seen it, but is that true or not?
Disagree.
Disagree.
I disagree.
What about you, Steve?
Bad scripting.
Yeah.
Actually, Steve, you're next up. You can give us your likes, dislikes, and Alien crossovers.
I like the, who made you, or who made them, thing there with Shaw. That was really cool. One of the things, and this happens a lot to me, and with other movies too. When I start to see some of the source material coming through really strongly, like for instance, Lindelof put in a whole bunch of Chariot of the Gods type of stuff with what's his name, Von Daniken, guy who wrote in the late 60s, early 70s, probably wrote 25 books, but he had this theory, basically that we were seeded here by these ancient aliens, and you have all these TV shows now, the ancient aliens and stuff like that. And it's just sort of like I didn't like it when I was exposed to it originally, and now I have to sit here and watch 2 hours of something based on it and loosely based on it at that, and it's just sort of like.
I think it was actually Ben DeBono, you'll like this. It was actually kind of based on Paradise Lost. A lot of this, in fact, the original title for Prometheus was Paradise.
Paradise, yes.
But I'd have to think about that a little bit. I don't know if I entirely see that.
I don't see that. Other than, I mean, I see it being much more based on the myth of Prometheus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, totally. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously. And of course, that's something that Damon Lindelof said. It's kind of a pretentious title and hard to pronounce. And Ridley Scott didn't want it, but that's why I wanted it, because it's pretentious and hard to pronounce.
Oh,
that's
Steve.
That's what Damon Lindelof said.
Steve, you said something earlier that I really did want to get to. And this is actually the biggest point I thought would be interesting for the show that some people might not know is how we know that the aliens had 2,000 years ago started this plan to go and I think attack Earth. It was headed towards Earth, but why? And so this idea in Ridley Scott's original scripting for this movie was that over the course of time, as humans were growing in different societies, different empires, that kind of thing, the engineers would send different ambassadors or emissaries from their planet to go check in on things. And Jesus was the last one that they planned to send to just give them one more chance. So that's kind of, Steve, when you read about that, what did you think about that?
Well, it's Ridley Scott directed it. The original script was John Spates. And, it's another one of those theories where, the alien Jesus theory. And it sort of goes along with the whole alien astronaut, the Chariot of the Gods. Whenever I hear someone toying with Jesus or sort of putting it mythologically or whatever, it just sort of smacks of, just such a secular worldview that it makes it hard for me to enjoy something.
Okay, Ben DeBono go ahead. Ben DeBono wants to add on something to that about the Jesus thing. Go ahead.
I do?
Yeah. Okay.
What did I want to say?
All right, fine. Steve, go ahead.
It's just it seems more like blasphemy than, just someone saying, Jesus is, it could be an alien. I mean, he can't be an alien. So, at some level, it's a blasphemy, and I don't like blasphemy. I don't know about you guys. I'm just not a big fan.
We are on board
I'm
with
so against blasphemy. But I went and belonged to the one true church and everything. So yeah, that's
what is that again?
Okay. So
the thing you have to remember though is this is not in the movie.
Yeah, but it's interesting because
it's in the original
reason it was taken out is
fingerprints are there of it right. takes place at Christmas time.
Right.
It's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, but the reason Ridley Scott took it out was mostly because he didn't want to be, he says, right on the nose about it, but this is his intention.
Well, yeah. I don't.
Why else would it be 2,000 years? What else happened 2,000 years ago that could be possibly, anything similar to what he's
But they don't say anything about an emissary or anything like that in the movie.
Okay, can I have a quote here, and this is from Ridley Scott himself. He said, here's a little lead up to it. The original script for Prometheus flat out explained why Earth was targeted for destruction, and the reasoning ties into Scott's thoughts on religion. They ultimately felt the idea was lacking in subtlety and scrapped it, but Scott elaborated on the point, and his comment may provide a hint as to where the sequel could go. So here, this is from Ridley Scott himself. We definitely did have that in the script, and then we thought it was a little too on the nose. This is about Jesus. But if you look at it as our children are misbehaving down there scenario, there are moments where it looks like we've gone out of control, running around with armor and skirts, which of course would be the Roman Empire, and they were given a long run, 1,000 years before their disintegration actually started to happen. And you can say, let's send down one more of our emissaries to see if he can stop it. Guess what? They crucified him.
Yeah, but until that's actually in one of the movies, it's not canon.
Yeah, and Dumbledore is gay.
Exactly.
So. All right.
The thing is, you know, it's the intention. It's what the movie was built off of. Maybe it's not canon, but the thing is, it's out there. So, you know.
Yeah, but all sorts of stuff changes in script development. I don't think you can hold the movie responsible for something Ridley Scott says in an interview after it's released.
So, I do.
Okay, so in the second movie, if there is one made, it will be called, or it could be possibly called Paradise, because they're going to the engineer's planet.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, I'd really enjoy seeing a sequel to it. I don't think it's going to happen.
Why don't you think so?
It seems like one of those projects that's going to get stalled out in development hell. Ridley Scott's busy with a lot of other stuff. Yeah. The movie wasn't that well received. So I don't.
It is stalling out in development right now.
Exactly.
They are looking for screenwriters, and it is
going the way of the Justice League.
I think they've already pushed it back to 2015, if I'm not mistaken.
Prometheus 2 or Justice League?
Prometheus 2.
Well, that's not that far away. Do you know what year it is?
Yeah, but they said 2014 last time, so now it's already been pushed back a year. It's going to be one of those movies.
I think we will see a sequel. I think it will happen. Damon Lindelof isn't on board to do a...
Know who they should get, though?
Carlton Cuse?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I heard he is the most valuable star in Hollywood.
He actually is.
Okay. Ben Avery, what do you think?
You guys know
about Dwayne?
About the sequel.
The Rock Johnson?
No, not about
The
Rock.
What about The Rock? I think he'd be awesome.
I mean, Vin Diesel
movie.
Was in Pitch Black.
Yeah, seriously.
And that was great. I think you can bring The Rock in.
Ben, what are the chances that we're going to see a sequel?
I don't think the chances are high, but I think the chances of seeing a sequel are better than a lot of other movies that are not getting made, if that makes any sense.
No,
there's a lot of movies out there that get started and just don't get made. I mean, more movies don't get made than do get made. More movies are bought, you know, and screenplays, you know, looked at and that kind of thing. This is something that, because it has Ridley Scott behind it, and because it, you know, made enough money to cover its budget and its marketing, I think you could see a sequel, but I don't know if we will necessarily.
I have something from ScreenRant.com from 8 months ago, so take it for what that's worth. It says, Prometheus sequel confirmed. Lindelof may not return.
Well, yeah, I mean, confirmed it, but it's Justice League's been confirmed. But it's not never going to happen. It's not going to see the light of day.
What I'm saying that is, you know, take it for what it's worth there. So,
more recently, there was something that came out about Prometheus sequel looking for writers, and they've gone through a handful of writers. Damon Lindelof is not in, and they were talking about how it's not going to happen because Damon Lindelof, you know, isn't in, and so Ridley Scott's scared or something like that. But that Damon Lindelof said no, he's not. They're just looking for the right person.
We should put it together and then just pitch it.
Yeah, we could. Yeah. We could, you know, say that Jesus was not an alien.
Yeah,
and like just throw it out there.
Okay,
you
know?
Maybe
you know who we probably shouldn't have in the movie if we wanted to make money is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, because I have a list here.
No,
of the top 50 highest grossing movie stars. He is not on it anywhere. Take that, Kobe.
How long is that?
All right, this is how
is that all time.
This is how we should wrap this thing up. Give us where you would want to see the Alien and Prometheus franchise go from here, and I'll start with Kobe. Where do you want to see the Alien and Prometheus franchise go from here?
Honestly, I probably will watch Prometheus, so I would like to see a sequel because I like sequels.
Wait, I thought you'd already watched some of it.
If it doesn't get any better than what I've heard, then I don't want there to be a sequel. Just want it to end. Like Ben said, it's gone on too long.
Save that time for G.I. Joe 3, right?
Absolutely.
And Expendable Women.
What?
They're making a female version of the Expendables. I thought you'd probably know about that.
Didn't know about
that. You were saying women were expendable.
I thought
you were saying they're expendable.
Dude,
G.I.
That's really another conversation.
This is getting weird.
Let's turn it over to Steve. Where do you want to see this go?
I would like them to strip away all the silly alien astronaut type stuff and dig into
the greatest part of the movie, the engineers. You want
the whole thing was astronauts and aliens.
Listen to me. I want that to be the canard, the red herring, where people are sort of thinking that way. They get to the planet and they discover something else. And it takes away all the religious imagery, takes away all the nonsense, you know, the evolutionary nonsense and stuff like that, and recasts it. So all of a sudden, something else. That's what I'd like to see. And you know, better scripting.
All right. Ben Avery.
Good story.
Well, I did want to mention one last thing going back to the Chariot of the Gods.
Yeah.
Check out that documentary on Netflix. They made a documentary out of his book, and it is a hoot.
Wait, and it's called what's the documentary called?
Chariot of the Gods. Okay. It's all about how aliens, Matt. You know, did the pyramids, and aliens did this, aliens did that. Aliens were the wheel within the wheel that Elijah saw. Ezekiel saw. And it is great. It when I started watching it, I just kept thinking it was a Monty Python type spoof of a documentary, but it feels like it's a spoof of a documentary, but it's real.
I've just added it to my instant queue, and Ben and I are going to do an episode about aliens creating humanity in the near future.
I'll be interested to see how far
you're welcome.
I definitely say check it out and at least try and watch the beginning. It becomes a drinking game every time. Ooh, the guy says
that's Ben's favorite.
Guy says it is obvious, or the only conclusion that can be drawn, or something like that. When he says this, and it's clearly not obvious, and it's clearly not the only conclusion. You know, the only conclusion that can be drawn that this rock that's this big could be moved into this pyramid is that there must have been machinery that they didn't have, and so it must have been an alien. It's just that kind of thing, and it's all over
the
place.
That's awesome. Wow.
And it's also the first time anyone tried doing anything serious with that, and so it's just ridiculous.
Matt, should we watch? I know you don't drink. But should we watch that, and I will treat it as a drinking game, and then we'll record afterwards?
Yes, yes. That's awesome. Exactly what we should do.
Yes.
Yeah, that really boosts
okay,
ratings.
Okay, so, but that's not the question. What
probably
was the question?
More than G.I. Joe.
The question I had for you
was
this bashing movie thing.
Okay, stop, guys. Where do you want to see the Alien and Prometheus franchises go?
I would like to see a Prometheus follow-up. I would like to see what they were going to call it, Paradise or whatever. Mm-hmm. I would like to see that movie because I'd like to see what happens with Shaw and with David. I think there could be some really interesting stuff there. I don't think there's really much more you can do with the alien side of the franchise. They've kind of played that out as far as trying to scare you or make you feel uncomfortable. It's all been seen. They've taken that about as far as they can go. And you know, Alien Resurrection was them trying to go way over the top with, you know, here's a hybrid and here's this and that. And it's just kind of, you don't care. But there's some interesting stuff in Prometheus that honestly would be interesting to follow up with.
Do you know Ridley Scott's personal religious beliefs?
I'm pretty sure that he's agnostic or atheist, but I don't know. That's just me looking at his body of work.
Before we go to Ben DeBono to wrap it up, I noticed here for a quote from Ridley Scott, this is the way he says, it's interesting to do a sequel because this leaves the door open to some huge questions. The real question to me is, the more mankind discovers in science and more clear and helpful everything becomes, yet we're very bad at managing ourselves. And one of the biggest problems in the world is what we call religion. It causes more problems than anything in the universe. Think about what's happening now, all based on the very simple idea that a Muslim can't live alongside a Catholic, or a Catholic can't live alongside a Protestant.
I can see that. That's probably true.
Might be true.
Okay.
Well, at least you Protestants.
All right, Ben, wrap us up and tell us where you want to see these things go.
Future
of the franchises.
I would echo what Ben just said, that more Prometheus, no more aliens.
And you can have them in the background, like in Prometheus.
Right. But no more standalone. We don't need Alien 5.
All right. Well,
because you're not going to scare me with that.
More Predator.
All right. I'm going to hit the music then. And, well, guys,
please talk over the music. Matt loves that when you talk over the music.
No, it doesn't. I don't like that. Great crossover. Thank you so much for doing this with us.
Just like this.
Ben, where can they call us for feedback?
612-4121-SFC.
And where could they write us at emails?
Feedback@scifichristian.com.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I am Ben DiBono.
And I'm Cody Radcliffe.
I'm Daniel Butcher.
What about Stephen? Stephen Ben.
Are we allowed to talk?
Yeah.
The music's playing.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I'm Ben Avery.
I'm Steve McDonald.
And you can go to strangersandaliens.com to find us. I don't think that we were able to brand ourselves.
Oh, you're right.
So, like you guys.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, yeah. Go check out strangersandaliens.com.
Music ran out.
No, it's okay. We just keep talking. So, strangersandaliens.com is where you can find the great Strangers and Aliens 16th podcast.
Best podcast on their own website.
We didn't talk about what's happening in May.
Oh, you're right. Maybe I'll have to re-put that back. We'll figure it out. I'll put it in there somewhere.
And the other thing is I'm wanting to do more things that build kind of the Christian Geek podcast community a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is step one. Step two happens next month.
Next month. Yeah,
I can't. We have 10 podcasts lined up for that.
Wait, have you already announced that on your show?
This is the first I've said anything about this on our show.
Well, talk about it right now.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to do a theme week. And it actually is going to be crammed into 2 weeks instead of just one, because some podcasts come out every other week. But we've got 10 sci-fi, fantasy, geeky, and Christian-y podcasts who are going to be joining us to do. We're all doing the same theme. We're all going to. It's not going to be a crossover like this. We're all just going to be talking over each other and everything. But we're all banding together and just doing that theme week next month. And it is going to be awesome. And there's other podcasts, some of them I've talked about on our show before. Some of them I have not even mentioned before.
Yeah.
But
It is going to be awesome. I love it because we're going to be doing there'll be some sort of promo that states all the podcasts that are involved. So I like the idea of, you know, for your show and my show, we can we can play these promos with these other people's podcasts. So maybe we can point our audience towards some other podcasts as well.
Yeah, that's the main reason to do that. I heard some other podcasts do this. That so this isn't original with me or anything, but yeah, that's the idea, is that we'll play the promo, they'll play the promo, their listeners will find out about us, our listeners will find out about them, and hopefully, you know, maybe you'll find something new to listen to, fun to listen to. And if you have time, you know, because I don't know how you guys have done it, but you've released more episodes than there's actually time in the week. it's like this weird time
paradox
that you've gone into to do that. But, you know, if they have time, you know, when they're done listening to your 13 episodes every week, they might even, you know, listen to an episode of Faith, Hope, and Nerds. Or Geek This Podcast.
What about Geekily Yoked?
Geekily Yoked, yeah. Which is an awesome title.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, do you want to hear about LV223?
Yeah, tell me. Actually, I think Ben and Kobe are leaving. Goodbye, guys. The snow is pretty bad, but I want to hear about it.
Bye, guys.
Anyway, LV223, okay, if you take LV and translate it as Leviticus 22:3.
Hey, I'll be right back. You keep talking.
What, you going to listen to this later? So, Leviticus 22:3 says, "Say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord." So it's talking about seeds, generations.
Like a Damon Lindelof being pretentious.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm back.
So
had to go get something.
Yeah.
You missed it.
You didn't listen to any of that. I listened, though.
I agree.
It's all recorded.
I agree. I'll edit this back in.
So there you go.
There it is.
All right, Strangers and Aliens, we have to leave. I just realized I have to do something for Ben on my computer before he goes home, and he is tired.
Hey, he is old.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk later.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. Bye. God bless you guys.
Okay. God bless you more.
Let's see here. Okay. I will do this. Yep, there we go.
That was a dramatic shut off.